Welcome to your deep dive on cloud computing concepts. We got some fascinating stuff from the CCSP curriculum. We'll break it down so you can really master these concepts.
Exactly. We're going beyond those basic definitions. We'll uncover what separates those casual cloud users from real pros, you know, the cloud security professional.
Right. Love that idea. So the cloud, I think we all have some idea what that means, but this NIST definition, specifically SP 800-145, gets super specific. What are some of the key characteristics they're highlighting?
NIST hones in on five essential characteristics that define true cloud computing: on-demand self-service, broad network access, and then there's resource pooling. Of course, rapid elasticity, and importantly, measured service. It's not just about your data being somewhere else.
Right.
It's about how you access and manage those computing resources in a whole new way.
Okay, yeah, let's unpack that a bit. On-demand self-service, that sounds pretty straightforward, right? Almost like ordering takeout, but for computing power.
Exactly. It's like provisioning all those resources. So servers, storage, even networks, all without needing a human from the provider side to actually do anything.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the real magic, that kicks in with resource pooling. This is where that cloud idea becomes more than just, you know, a bunch of servers connected together.
So it's not just about renting one server anymore.
Right, you got it. Resource pooling is about taking a massive amount of infrastructure. So we're talking computing power, storage, all that network bandwidth, and then making that available to many, many users, you know, tenants, we call them. Mm-hmm. Think of it like a massive power grid.
I see, yeah.
Everyone plugs in and uses as much electricity as they need without having to manage that power plant themselves.
Yeah, I get it.
Makes sense, right?
It does, yeah. That brings us to multi-tenancy, which the material actually compares to an apartment building. I get the analogy, but what about the security implications here? Is it really safe to have my data, like, living next door to someone else's in the cloud?
I like that analogy, that apartment building idea. It's a good start, but let's dig a little deeper.
Oh.
Yes, it's true. In a multi-tenant cloud environment, you have multiple tenants all sharing that same underlying infrastructure.
Right.
But just like you would have physical security in a well-run apartment building, logical isolation in the cloud is absolutely critical. So things like firewalls, those virtual networks, all the access controls, all of these mechanisms are working together constantly to ensure that one tenant's data, their applications, are completely isolated from others.
So less about those physical walls and more about really robust security controls that kind of enforce those virtual boundaries.
Exactly. That is a great way to put it. And that's where the expertise of a CCSP really comes in. Understanding how these security controls work, how to implement them effectively, and how to monitor for any, you know, potential breaches, that's essential in that multi-tenant cloud environment.
Gotcha. Now, the material also dives into these different cloud service models. So, you know, SaaS, PaaS, and IaaS. Feels like choosing the right model can really make a difference in terms of both, you know, functionality and security.
Absolutely. They represent this whole spectrum of control and responsibility, and knowing where that responsibility lies is crucial, especially for security.
Absolutely. So let's break it down, starting with SaaS. This seems like the simplest model, but what are some of the security considerations that people kind of overlook?
Okay, so with SaaS, you're basically trusting the provider to handle most of that security for you.
Right.
But just blindly trusting anyone is never a good security strategy. If you think about all those data breaches that have happened with these popular SaaS applications, even when the provider takes care of the infrastructure security, things like misconfigured access controls, poor data handling practices within the application itself, those can lead to big vulnerabilities.
So it's not just about choosing a good provider. It's about understanding how that application itself actually handles data and what controls you have as the customer.
Precisely. You've got to carefully evaluate the provider's security practices, scrutinize those data protection policies, ensure they're complying with regulations. You're still responsible for knowing how your data is being used and protected, even if you're not managing the infrastructure directly.
Okay, so SaaS is kind of like trust but verify.
Yeah.
What about PaaS? Seems like you have more control there, but also more responsibility.
Yeah, with PaaS, you're stepping into the developer's shoes a bit.
Hopefully.
The provider is giving you the platform, the tools, that runtime environment, but you are building and securing your own applications.
Gotcha.
This means knowing secure coding practices, implementing proper authentication and authorization, and protecting your data stores.
So it's like having a workshop with every tool you possibly need.
Right.
But you're responsible for building something that's structurally sound and secure.
Yeah. That is a perfect analogy. And this is where things get really interesting from that CCSP perspective, you know? You need to know how to apply those security principles throughout that entire development lifecycle, from design to deployment and beyond.
Makes sense. Now, IaaS feels like the most hands-on approach, but also the most complex security-wise.
Absolutely. With IaaS, you're essentially renting the raw infrastructure, the servers, the storage, the networking, and you're building everything from the ground up.
Wow.
That means you're responsible for securing every single layer of that stack. Think configuring firewalls, managing access control lists, hardening those operating systems, implementing intrusion detection systems. It's a lot to handle.
So it's like having all the building materials delivered to your site, but you're responsible for designing and building a fortress, a secure one.
Exactly. That's a great way to look at it. And that requires a deep understanding of cloud security principles, best practices, and those tools. You're essentially becoming your own cloud security provider.
Wow, that is a lot of responsibility. Now, besides the service models, we've also got these different cloud deployment models: public, private, community, and hybrid. What are the key security considerations for each of these?
Deployment models, they determine where your cloud infrastructure actually resides physically and who has control over it. This has big implications for security. So, public cloud, you're basically putting all your trust in that provider's security posture. You benefit from their scale, their expertise, but you inherit their risks too.
So it's kind of like living in a high-security apartment building. You depend on the building management to secure the whole building, but you also have to trust your neighbors.
That's a great way to think about it. Now, with a private cloud, you get more control, but it needs more in-house expertise. You're responsible for securing the entire environment, from the physical infrastructure all the way to those applications running on it.
It's like owning your own house. You control all the security, but also have to do all the maintenance yourself.
Exactly. Community clouds are interesting. They introduce this shared responsibility thing between a group of organizations. They might have similar interests or requirements. This can be good for collaboration, even cost sharing, but it needs careful coordination and agreement on all the security policies.
So, like a gated community, you share responsibility with your neighbors, and everyone needs to agree on the rules and actually enforce them together.
Exactly. And finally, hybrid clouds combine parts of those public, private, and sometimes even community clouds. This gives you flexibility and scalability, but it makes security management more complex. You really need to think about how data and applications move between those environments and make sure security controls are consistent across all the platforms.
Yeah, it sounds like a hybrid cloud needs a well-defined strategy, a clear understanding of those security implications for each cloud model involved.
Absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. Choosing the right deployment model or that mix of models is a strategic decision. It should be based on your security needs, your risk tolerance, and the expertise you have available. And remember, the cloud is constantly changing, so flexibility and adaptability are key. Now, let's talk about reference architectures. They provide this standardized framework for designing and deploying cloud solutions.
So it's like a blueprint for building that secure and efficient cloud environment.
Exactly. Think of NIST's SP500-292, a prime example. It outlines the roles and responsibilities of all those different stakeholders. You know, in a cloud ecosystem, you've got the cloud consumer, provider, auditor, broker, and carrier.
Okay, and why is this so important for someone studying for, that CCSP exam?
Because understanding those roles, how they interact, that's crucial for designing, implementing secure cloud solutions. It's not just about the technology itself, but also about governance, risk management, even the compliance aspects.
Right, makes sense. Now, the source material dives into those capabilities offered by each service model. It seems like this has a huge impact on both the user experience and security.
Absolutely. Those capabilities, they define the level of control and flexibility you have at each service level. With SaaS, you get that streamlined user experience, but you're limited in how much control you have over the underlying security.
Good job.
PaaS, that gives you more flexibility to customize your applications, but it also requires you to take on more responsibility for the security.
Okay.
And with IaaS, you have complete control, but also the greatest security burden.
So it's that classic trade-off between convenience and control. And there are those security implications at every level.
Precisely. Understanding those capabilities is crucial for making those smart decisions about which service model really suits your needs, your risk tolerance.
Okay. Let's switch gears a bit. Talk about those building blocks of cloud computing, the technologies that make all this magic happen. We're talking about virtualization, storage, networking, even databases and orchestration.
Those are the foundational elements. They really underpin any cloud deployment. And understanding how they work, and maybe more importantly, how they can be exploited, is critical for a CCSP.
Yeah, for sure. Let's start with virtualization. That's the tech that enables multi-tenancy, makes the cloud so efficient.
Mm.
But the source material highlights some security challenges there. What are some of the key vulnerabilities we need to be aware of?
Virtualization, it adds this whole new layer of complexity to the security stack. If that hypervisor, you know, the software that manages all those virtual machines, if that's compromised, well, it can give an attacker access to all the VMs running on that host. That's why hypervisor security is so, so important.
So it's like a weak link in a chain. If the hypervisor fails, the whole thing could break.
Exactly. That's why CSPs use these sophisticated technologies, things like secure enclaves and micro-segmentation. These protect the hypervisor and also isolate those virtual machines from each other.
Can you explain those a bit further?
Sure. Secure enclaves, they're like these isolated areas of memory within the processor itself. They are protected from unauthorized access, even from the operating system or the hypervisor. They can be used to store sensitive data, think like encryption keys, or run those security critical applications in this super secure environment.
So it's like a vault within a vault, you know, an extra layer of protection for those really sensitive assets.
Exactly. And micro-segmentation takes that concept even further. It isolates individual workloads or even applications within a virtual network. It's like building firewalls inside the data center itself, creating these micro-perimeters around each application. That limits the damage from any potential breach.
So even if one application is compromised, that attacker can't easily move to other parts of the network.
Precisely. Those are just a few examples of how CSPs are always innovating to enhance that virtualization security. But, you know, as a CCSP, you need to understand these technologies, their limitations, and how to really assess their effectiveness.
Okay, makes sense. Now, what about storage in the cloud? I mean, we're talking about massive amounts of data. How do CSPs ensure the security and integrity of all that data?
Cloud storage, it relies heavily on technologies like storage area networks, those are SANs, and network-attached storage, which we call NAS. These systems, they provide this high-performance, scalable storage solution that you can access over a network.
So like a giant shared storage locker, but, you know, one that's incredibly fast and reliable.
Yeah, exactly. But security is paramount. CSPs use all these different techniques to protect that data at rest, including encryption, access controls, data integrity checks. They also implement those robust physical security measures to protect those data centers from unauthorized access.
So it's not just about the technology itself, but also about the physical security of those data centers.
Absolutely. And this is where certifications like SOC2 and ISO 27001 come in. These certifications provide that independent verification that the CSP has met those strict security standards for data protection.
That makes a lot of sense. Now let's talk about networking. It's the nervous system of the cloud connecting everything together. What are the key security considerations for cloud networking?
Network security in the cloud, it's complex and it's multifaceted. You need to consider everything from securing those connections between your organization and the cloud provider to segmenting your network within that cloud environment to implementing intrusion detection and even prevention systems.
It sounds like a lot to manage.
It is. But thankfully, CSPs provide this wide range of tools and services to help you secure your cloud network. Things like virtual private clouds, VPCs, network access control lists, or ACLs, security groups, and even web application firewalls.
So it's like a toolbox full of all these security gadgets, but you need to know which tools to use and how to use them effectively.
Precisely. And that's where your CCSP knowledge comes in. You need to understand all those different security controls that are available, how they work, and how to configure them to really meet your specific needs.
Now let's move on to databases. They're essential for storing and managing data in the cloud. But what are those security implications of using cloud databases?
Cloud databases offer a lot of advantages, like scalability, availability, and cost effectiveness. But they also introduce these unique security challenges. You need to carefully think about things like data encryption, access control, and vulnerability management.
So it's not just about picking the right database technology, but also about implementing those right security controls.
Absolutely. Understanding those different database types and their security implications becomes crucial here. Think about the differences between relational databases, NoSQL databases, and those cloud-native databases. Each has its own strengths and weaknesses when it comes to security.
And finally, we have orchestration. It's the conductor of that cloud orchestra, you know, making sure all these different components work together. But what about the security implications of orchestration?
Cloud orchestration tools, they automate the deployment, management, even the scaling of those cloud resources. This can be really powerful, but it also introduces some potential security risks. If an attacker gains control of your orchestration tools, well, they could potentially manipulate your whole cloud environment.
So it's like giving someone the keys to your kingdom. You need to be absolutely sure they're trustworthy.
Exactly. That's why securing your orchestration tools and implementing those really robust access controls is absolutely paramount. You also need to carefully consider the security implications of any third-party tools or services that you integrate into your orchestration workflows.
Makes sense. Now, we've covered those foundational building blocks of cloud computing. Let's move on to some of those really transformative technologies that are shaping the future of the cloud.
We're talking about technologies like machine learning, artificial intelligence, blockchain, the Internet of Things, containers, and even quantum computing.
Wow, that's a pretty mind-blowing lineup. Let's start with machine learning, or ML. Seems like it's everywhere these days. How is ML impacting cloud security?
ML is a powerful tool. It can be used to enhance security in a lot of different ways. For example, those ML algorithms can be used to detect anomalies in network traffic, identify malicious files, or even predict future security threats.
So it's like having a super smart security guard, one who can see patterns that humans might miss.
Exactly. But ML also introduces its own set of security challenges. For example, ML models can be susceptible to those adversarial attacks, where attackers try to manipulate the input data to trick the model into making wrong predictions.
So it's like a game of cat and mouse between those security pros and the attackers.
Exactly. As ML becomes more common in cloud environments, understanding those attacks and how to defend against them will be crucial for CCSPs.
Now, what about artificial intelligence, or AI? How's that different from ML, and what are those security implications?
Think of AI as the broader field, while ML is a specific technique within AI. AI aims to create systems that can perform tasks that typically require human intelligence, like problem solving, decision making, even creative expression.
So it's like ML on steroids.
In a way, yeah. AI systems can be incredibly powerful, but they also introduce new security risks. For example, AI systems can be biased based on that data they were trained on, which can lead to unfair or discriminatory outcomes. They can also be vulnerable to attacks that target those underlying algorithms or those data sets.
It sounds like AI security is a complex and evolving field.
It is. As AI adoption in cloud environments continues to grow, CCSPs will need to stay ahead of the curve, understanding those risks and developing those effective mitigation strategies.
Now let's talk about blockchain. It's often associated with cryptocurrencies, but the source material suggests it has these broader implications for cloud security. How so?
Blockchain is a distributed ledger technology. It can be used to create the secure and transparent record of transactions. This has several potential applications for cloud security.
For example?
Well, blockchain can be used to track the origins of data, ensuring its integrity and authenticity. It can also be used to create those secure audit trails, making it easier to track down the source of security breaches.
So it's like a digital notary service. You know, verifying the integrity of data in those transactions.
Exactly. And because blockchain is decentralized and immutable, it can be very difficult for attackers to tamper with the data.
That sounds promising. Now, the Internet of Things, or IoT, is another, you know, rapidly growing trend that's having a major impact on cloud security. How so?
The IoT, it's all about connecting devices to the internet. This includes everything, from sensors and industrial equipment to those smart home appliances and even those wearable devices.
So we're talking about billions of devices generating these massive amounts of data.
Exactly. And all that data, well, it needs to be stored, processed, and analyzed somewhere. That's where the cloud comes in. But the IoT also introduces this whole new set of security challenges. A lot of those IoT devices are designed with security as an afterthought, making them really easy targets for attackers.
It's like having a million unlocked doors into your network.
Exactly. As the number of IoT devices continues to grow, securing these devices and all that data they generate will become a top priority for CCSPs.
Now let's talk about containers. They seem to be gaining popularity as a lightweight alternative to virtual machines. But what are those security implications of using containers in the cloud?
Containers offer a lot of advantages over those traditional VMs. They're smaller, faster to deploy, and even more resource efficient. But they also introduce some unique security considerations.
For example?
Well, containers share the host operating system's kernel. That means that a vulnerability in that kernel could potentially affect all of the containers running on that host.
So it's like having a shared apartment building, where a problem in that foundation could affect all of the apartments.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to use hardened container images, implement those robust access controls, and really monitor container activity for any signs of compromise.
And finally, we have quantum computing. It's still in its early stages, but it has the potential to revolutionize a lot of industries, including cloud computing. But what are the security implications of quantum computing?
Quantum computers are incredibly powerful machines. They can solve certain types of problems much faster than those classical computers. This has both exciting and alarming implications for security.
How so?
Well, on one hand, quantum computing could be used to develop new encryption algorithms, ones that are resistant to attacks from even the most powerful quantum computers.
Okay.
But on the other hand, quantum computers could also be used to break existing encryption algorithms. That could potentially render much of our current security infrastructure obsolete.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Exactly. As quantum computing continues to develop, CCSPs will need to stay informed about its potential impact on security, adapt their strategies accordingly.
It sounds like we're entering this whole new era of cloud security, you know, with all these exciting possibilities, but some daunting challenges too.
Definitely.
The source material talks about cryptography and key management as being essential for protecting data in the cloud.
Absolutely. Encryption, it's the foundation of data security, both in the cloud and on-premises.
Right.
But managing those encryption keys effectively in a cloud environment, that can get tricky.
Yeah, what are some of the key challenges there?
Well, think about it.
Right.
In a traditional data center, you have physical control over your hardware, your encryption keys. But in the cloud, your data and keys, they might be spread across multiple regions, even multiple providers.
So how do you keep track of all those keys and make sure they're protected properly?
That's where key management services come in. We call them KMS. These services, they provide the secure and centralized key management solution. You can generate, store, rotate, even revoke those encryption keys.
So it's like having a digital vault for your encryption keys.
Yeah.
With like robust security controls and audit trails.
Exactly. And a lot of those CSPs offer their own KMS solutions, which can integrate seamlessly with their other cloud services.
Okay.
But it's important to remember that you, the customer, you retain that ultimate responsibility for your keys and for your data.
So it's like entrusting your valuables to like this highly secure bank vault.
Right.
But you still need to choose the right bank and carefully manage your access to the vault.
A perfect analogy. Now, besides cryptography, access control is another one of those fundamental aspects of cloud security.
But I imagine access control in the cloud is a bit more complex than just setting up user accounts and passwords.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In that shared responsibility model, you need to really carefully define those roles and responsibilities of both the CSP and the customer when it comes to access control.
So who's responsible for what?
The CSP. They're responsible for the physical security of their data centers and that underlying infrastructure. This includes things like controlling physical access to the servers, implementing network security measures, and ensuring the integrity of that hypervisor.
So they're basically like the building managers, you know, making sure that the building itself is secure.
Exactly. But you, the customer, you're responsible for managing access to your own cloud resources. This includes things like setting up user accounts, defining permissions, implementing multi-factor authentication.
So it's like having your own apartment within that secure building. You're responsible for who can access it and what they can do once they're inside.
Precisely. And this is where things can get tricky, especially for those large organizations, the ones with complex cloud deployments. You need to have a clear understanding of who needs access to what, implement those strong authentication mechanisms, and regularly review and audit your access controls.
Now, the source material also emphasizes the importance of data and media sanitization in the cloud. But how do you actually, you know, wipe a hard drive when you don't physically have access to it?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's one of those most challenging aspects of cloud security. Those traditional methods, you know, like physically destroying the hard drives or using those disk wiping tools, those aren't really feasible in a lot of cloud environments.
So what's the solution?
Encryption is key here. If your data is encrypted with a strong algorithm and those keys are securely managed, well, even if there are some data remnants left on that physical storage after it's been decommissioned, it's effectively unreadable without the keys.
So it's like shredding a document into those tiny little pieces. Even if someone finds a couple of pieces, they can't reconstruct the entire document.
Exactly. A lot of those CSPs offer data erasure services that use cryptographic techniques to securely erase data from their storage systems. But it's important to understand those limitations of these services and to choose a provider that really meets your specific security requirements.
Now let's shift our focus to network security. It's the backbone of any cloud deployment, but it's also a prime target for attackers.
Absolutely. Network security in the cloud, it's multi-layered. It requires this comprehensive approach.
What are those key layers of defense?
Well, it starts with securing that connection between your organization and the cloud provider. This typically involves using VPNs or even dedicated connections to create the secure tunnel for your data.
So it's like building a private bridge between your network and the cloud.
Exactly. Once your data is inside that cloud environment, you need to segment your network using those virtual networks and security groups. This helps to control that traffic flow and isolate sensitive systems.
It's like building walls and fences within the cloud to create those secure zones for different applications and data.
A perfect analogy. And then you have those intrusion detection and prevention systems, or IDPS, web application firewalls, or WAFs, and all those other security tools that can help detect and block malicious activity, you know, at that network level.
So it's like having security guards patrolling your cloud network, looking for any signs of trouble.
Exactly. Now, let's dig a bit deeper into two specific areas of cloud network security: virtualization security and common threats.
Sounds good.
You with me?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool.
Let's start with virtualization security. We talked about those hypervisor vulnerabilities earlier, but what other security considerations are there?
Well, one key aspect is securing those virtual machines themselves. This includes things like hardening that operating system, configuring those firewalls, implementing access controls.
So it's like securing each individual apartment within that cloud building.
Exactly. You also need to think about those security implications of virtual networking. How are your VMs connected to each other? How are they communicating with the outside world?
Sounds like a lot to think about.
It is. But luckily, CSPs provide a wide range of tools and services to help secure your virtual environment. Your CCSP knowledge, that will help you understand how to use those tools effectively.
Now, what about common threats in the cloud? Are they any different from the threats we face in those traditional on-premises environments?
You know, in many ways, the threats are pretty similar. Sure. We're still talking about data breaches, malware, those denial of service attacks, things like that.
So the bad guys are still trying to do those same bad things, just in a different environment.
Exactly. But the cloud, it introduces some unique challenges.
Okay.
For example, with multi-tenancy, a vulnerability in one customer's application could potentially be exploited to gain access to other customers' data, you know, on that same shared infrastructure.
So it's like living in that apartment building where a break-in at one apartment could give the burglar access to the whole building.
Good analogy. That's why it's crucial to carefully vet your CSPs, really understand their security practices, and implement your own security controls to mitigate those risks.
Makes sense. Now let's shift gears again. Talk about designing a secure cloud environment. The source material highlights a bunch of key concepts here, starting with that cloud secure data lifecycle.
Right. The cloud secure data lifecycle, it outlines those different stages the data goes through in the cloud, from its creation to storage, use, sharing, archiving, and finally, you know, destruction. And at each of those stages, there are those unique security considerations.
Could you give some examples?
Sure. During data creation, you need to make sure that sensitive data is properly classified and protected. During storage, you encrypt that data, implement those access controls to prevent unauthorized access. During use, you need to be monitoring for any suspicious activity, prevent that data leakage. And during destruction, you need to make sure that data is completely erased. It can't be recovered.
So it's like this whole journey for the data, and every step of the way, you need to take those precautions to protect it.
Exactly. Now, another key aspect of that secure cloud design is disaster recovery and business continuity planning.
Okay, yeah. How does the cloud impact these areas?
The cloud can be this really powerful tool for disaster recovery and business continuity. It lets you create geographically redundant backups and quickly spin up those replacement systems in case of a disaster.
So it's like having that spare tire in your car just in case.
Exactly. But just like you need to know how to change that tire, you need to have a really well-defined disaster recovery plan, and you got to test it regularly.
That makes sense. Now, cost is always a big consideration when it comes to tech. How does the cloud impact the cost of security?
It's a complex issue. On one hand, the cloud can potentially reduce those security costs by letting you leverage that provider's economies of scale and their expertise.
Right.
But on the other hand, the cloud can also introduce those new security costs, like the need for specialized security tools and even expertise.
So it's kind of a balancing act.
Exactly. You need to carefully weigh the costs and benefits of those different cloud security solutions and choose the approach that really aligns with your budget and your risk tolerance.
Now, the source material also mentions functional security requirements. What are those and why are they important?
Functional security requirements, they define how those security controls should actually work in a cloud environment. This includes things like portability, interoperability, and vendor lock-in.
Can you elaborate on those a little bit?
Sure. Portability, that refers to the ability to easily move your data, your applications between different cloud environments, or even back to an on-premises environment. Interoperability, that's all about making sure your different cloud services can communicate and share data seamlessly. And vendor lock-in, well, that's the risk of becoming so reliant on a particular CSP that it's difficult and costly to switch providers.
So these requirements are all about like flexibility and control.
Exactly. You don't want to be trapped in a cloud environment that doesn't meet your needs or exposes you to those unacceptable risks.
Now, finally, the source material emphasizes the importance of evaluating cloud service providers based on objective criteria. What are some of those criteria, and how can organizations go about verifying that compliance?
When you're evaluating CSPs, you need to look for evidence of their security practices, compliance with those relevant regulations, and industry certifications.
Can you give me some examples?
Sure. Standards like ISO 27017 and 27018, those provide guidance on cloud security and protection of that personally identifiable information. Compliance with regulations like GDPR or IPAA, those might be essential depending on what kind of data you're dealing with. And certifications, those like SOC2 or PCI DSS, those can provide assurance that the CSP has met those really strict security standards.
So it's like checking the credentials of a doctor before you entrust them with your health.
Exactly. You want to see their certifications, their experience, their commitment to security.
And that brings us to the end of our Cloud Computing Concepts deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground today, from the fundamental concepts of cloud computing to those latest security trends and those best practices.
Yeah.
We explored that shared responsibility model, dug into those different service and deployment models, even examined those building blocks of cloud technology, and talked about those challenges and opportunities of emerging technologies, things like AI and blockchain.
Right, exactly.
We also emphasized the importance of a multi-layered approach to cloud security, incorporating cryptography, access control, network security, data sanitization, and more.
Yeah, a lot to consider.
Absolutely. We also stress the need for continuous learning and adaptation in this ever-evolving field. If you're feeling a little overwhelmed by all this information, don't worry. That's totally normal. The cloud is complex. It's this dynamic environment.
It really is.
The key is to break down those concepts into manageable chunks. Focus on the areas that are most relevant to what you do and use those resources that are out there.
That's a great point.
And remember, you don't have to go it alone. There's this whole community of cloud security professionals out there, all willing to share what they know and their experiences.
Exactly. Connect with other CCSPs, attend those industry events, and never stop learning.
Well said. And that's your Cloud Computing Concepts deep dive. We hope you found it helpful and insightful.
Until next time, stay secure in the cloud.